the official Marketing Showcase podcast, where we speak about our latest marketing trends, tools, and ideas. I'm Alex King, your host for the day. We are here at the Utilita Bowl in Southampton, home of cricket. My next guest on the podcast is Nikki, but I'm going to let her introduce herself.
So I'm Nikki Rudd. I'm MD of Padua Communications. We're a content marketing and PR agency based in the New Forest.
Oh, the New Forest, beautiful. You're surrounded by greenery and ponies.
I was going to say, I love the fact that you're going, oh my God, really? But we know each other, so yeah. Yeah, no, it is really lovely. We moved down here about 9 years ago. In fact, actually, I read a post on LinkedIn yesterday about somebody moving and relocating their business and life and the rest of it. And we did it 9 years ago. And it, I have to say, doing it just before the pandemic and then basically the community of work colleagues and friends and stuff like that have just been, it's lovely. I love living down here. I feel like I came home because I grew up in Swanage, so I'm only an hour away from my mum and dad. That's on orders from my husband, to be fair. I had to sit with Google Maps and work out so that it wasn't less than that.
It was too close. Don't be far away from babysitting.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I love it. Really, really love it.
Oh. And so can you just explain communications as a whole?
That's a big question.
What clients you have, what kind of communications you offer to them, what's your expertise?
In fact, I've been asked a very similar question by somebody on the stand a little while ago. So we do the full gamut of communications, really. So there's not many agencies that I've come across in the last 15 years since we've been going that do the same breadth of offering that we have. So we do PR, which is my background, but we also do marketing, so strategic marketing, and also then implementation support if companies need it. And we also do some project management and some account management, and we do a lot of content creation. So depending on the client that we're working with, we might do all of those things, or we might just do one thing if they are head of marketing and they've got a team and they do events and the rest of it, but they haven't got anybody who's got PR sort of knowledge or expertise. Or it might be that actually we're working with a business owner and we are their outsourced marketing team, for example, and we do all of their comms. So everything that we do is tailored to all the client needs. And we work with clients all different shapes and sizes across all sorts of industries. In fact, I imagine there's one that we have worked with. Yeah.
Who is?
I don't think there's an industry I wouldn't have worked in.
Okay, brilliant. So give me an example of one in particular that you do quite a lot of a variety of things for.
Okay, so we work with a data and analytics company that we've worked with for quite a long time. We've done a podcast for them. We've built their website. We do all of their case studies, whether they're video case studies or whether they are written. We have done all of their event support, so their brand and all their branded merchandise and stuff like that. We've sourced speaker opportunities for them. We've done PR for them. You know, it depends. I mean, they won't necessarily do all of those things all the time, but actually we'll do sort of a real mixture of things. And then we've worked with a company that is, I think, one of it's a retail packaging company that we have actually mentored their team and managed their marketing team, so the guys that are doing design and video. But we've done the strategic element of it. So they're doing the kind of almost day-to-day, but to tie in with the kind of business growth and where the business direction for the company going, I'm sort of, head of footed in to come up with that bit and then bring everybody along with me. And then I then dope hand and expand, I step out again.
So I was going to say, so when you say you mentor them, you kind of teach them how to then do it themselves.
Yeah, so my background before I worked in comms was I was a teacher, secondary school English and media studies teacher. I know, one of my very many career choices. And I think that approach of being able to hold somebody's hand and kind of steer them is great for actually junior member staff or something that we can do. But also, I think it's also quite fundamental for the clients that we work with. So sometimes, you know this, you don't like necessarily put your hand up and going, I know I should know that, but I don't know what I should do. And the marketing industry in particular has gone through such a fundamental amount of change in the last year. Well, it's 15 years since Padua has been going, but even before that, you know, when I first started working, there was no internet. When I started Padua, social media was only just starting. AI is kicking in now. And so I think there's an awful lot of stuff of trying to keep up to speed and up to date. And sometimes if you're a business owner or you're head of marketing in a company, you just can't know it all, and so being able to have a safe, a critical friend, if you like, that you can say, what do I need to know here? What, am I being hoodwinked? Or what is the right question to be asked here? Is something that we can really, really help with as well, because that's just our approach. That's just how we've always worked.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned AI, the big AI.
Yeah.
Do you use AI tools in your business? And have you
good question. Have you used some that you've thought, that sounds good, it seems good, but then you've had to get rid of it because you've found something better?
That, well, both of those questions are really, really good questions. And obviously, I'm doing my talk on content creation and AI later this afternoon. We do use AI tools. I have to say, so my business partner uses them more than I do, just because he finds it really useful for doing research for an awful lot of like business development and also tech development stuff as well. And what my talk's coming off is the fact that, yes, they're great to help with productivity, but you've got to use them sensibly and wisely. My big bugbear with them is, you know, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I've written that, and, okay, I'll just put it in maybe in sort of C, or, you know, or it's got a word count. This guy, you know, you might have an award entry, and it says, you know, fill this paragraph out, 200 characters max. That was like a real skill set for me. I love doing that. It's like a real lip quiz, and I could do it quite quickly. And now I'm like, that's a tool that does it.
Yeah.
So that is like a little thing that I'm not happy about. But I would say a lot of the stuff, actually, it depends on how much prep you give it. You know, people talk about AI like it's going to be the, you know, be all and end all. And I was saying to somebody earlier, I've done 3 talks on content and AI in probably the last 2.5 months. And the amount of people that I've asked, okay, how are you using it? And, you know, probably half the audience have put their hands up. And if I then say how many people actually are beginning to mistrust the information that are given because they think it's written by AI, literally every single person in the audience is.
Really?
Yeah. And I think there is we're on a tipping point, I think, of people thinking, yeah, use it as a tool, but remember that it's a model. It's not going to be replace somebody. It might help you augment your production process or kind of what you want to kind of create, but it doesn't have that lived experience. It can't.
No.
And particularly with marketing, where an awful lot of the stuff that is got that emotional core, you know, you're trying to inspire or educate, and it just doesn't have that, you know, sort of lived knowledge. So I think there's still an area that, yes, it can be incredibly helpful, but you need to use it sensibly. The other thing as well I was going to say is, depending on how much experience you've got, and I've obviously worked in comms now for over to about a decade, but actually, for me, I can brief a designer that I work with, for example, quicker than I could actually write a brief that would go into AI. Yeah, because yes. You work with people. People choose to work with people.
Yeah.
And I think once you've got that kind of relationship where sometimes you just know, okay, I wanted to do this, and that's a quick conversation, and somebody will get me. Now, at the moment, I haven't found an AI tool that will do that as quickly, you know, and as well that won't mean me having to go and re-edit and re-edit and re-edit. So I think there's still a choice of when you use AI, which jobs you would use it for to help you augment your sort of, you know, productivity rather than actually replacing anything.
Now, I'm glad you said briefing documents, because briefing and creatives is a real skill.
Yeah.
And I think that no AI tool could write a briefing document for that person with your thoughts in your head, their thoughts in their head, their skill set. I don't think it's going to be a long time until somebody can do that.
I think it's going to be a long time to do that. And also, I think there is that, you know, we've all got our brains and they all work in different ways. And we're now going through, I think, a bit of a time where there's a real understanding of that kind of neurodiversity and what things people enjoy doing and things actually, you know, if I have to look at Excel spreadsheets for too long, I just go completely nuts. It's just completely unvated for me, for instance. Whereas the data analytics companies guy, totally love it, you know, whereas I'm get them to try and do something that I would really enjoy doing, they would probably struggle. So I think there is that thing of when you're writing a brief or when you're asking somebody to do something, if you are a creative person, you probably could do that quite quickly. If you are not, then it may well be that AI could help you do it. But I don't think it would, again, give it as much nuance as perhaps you might need it to. So I think actually there is a danger of everything becoming very vanilla flavoured, just because it's a model and it's only there and it just sounds the same. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, thank you very much for being my guest. So quickly, how do we find Padio Communications?
You can find us online at padiocommunications.com. You find me on LinkedIn. We've also got Penal Communications corporate page. You'll find me, if you're right, on there. And come and have a cup of tea in the New Forest with me, if you think we can.
With the ponies.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.